Well, hello, horror fans. Welcome to Baldhead Radio. I'm your host, Brett Cruson. This is our first show of 2016. I took about a month off back in December, but we're back. We are back with a brand new year, with brand new guests, returning guests, all kinds of cool stuff. Something's always going on. Something's always happening over here. Anytime people tune in and listen, you're always going to hear something you didn't expect, maybe, something fresh and new. I haven't had a boring show yet, I don't believe. In fact, I mean, I've had fun in all of them, and I believe my guests have too. Tonight, we've got an actress, producer. She's just busy doing all kinds of things. Wow, she's great. She's purdy too. I don't normally get purdy girls on my show, but I got one tonight. I want everybody to please welcome Ms. Tamara Glenn. Tamara, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Brett. Thank you so much. Right off, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for asking me to be on your show this evening. And wow, I'm your first guest of 2016. That's awesome. Thank you.
Isn't it a great way to kick off the new year, huh?
Absolutely.
And listen, I've been doing this for a little while, and I enjoy it. And I don't know. Every time I do the show, and I tell all my guests, I'm like, the day of the show, I'm always like really nervous. Like, wow, you know, is my guest going to show up? You know, because I'm a one man show here. You know, I run the show,
right.
I create all the show pages, but I'm also a booker. All right, so I book my own guests on top of that. And in my experience, in the length of time that I've been doing this, I've found that that's the most difficult part, is reaching out, getting a hold of people, finding people that want to do the show. Some people have reached out to me that wanted to do the show. It's great. I haven't really had any problems, but day of the show. And what made me so happy this morning was I got a text from you over Facebook. Hey, are we still on tonight? And it's like, oh, my God, she's totally serious. She's going to show up. It's awesome. It's like the number one thing I always worry about. And then, you know, all day long, you know, I've been back and forth with, you know, this and that. And so it really gave me a good confident boost today that this is going to be a great show. So let's talk
about...
Well,
I'm just, like I said again before we get started, thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you and your listeners this evening. So, let's get started.
Oh, and you're quite welcome. Listen, it's what I've always called it, it's a symbiotic relation, as it is in the industry that you work in. You know, one thing that one person does helps the other person that are involved in that project together or whatever it might be they're doing. I can't do my show without guests, so I'm always honored to have people on that help me out with my show, and then my show helps them out. So it's a two-way kind of back and forth thing that works for everybody.
Always.
It's awesome.
Always.
I love being a part of it. I really do.
Me too.
So let's talk about you.
That makes two of us.
Yeah. Arkansas, or as I like to call it, Arkansas, because I'm over here on the West Coast. Arkansas. You like that?
Oh, dear. Arkansas, Arkansas. I have a funny story about growing up in Arkansas before my move to L.A. Do you want to hear it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
It's really funny. Well, it's really funny real fast because I had the most country bona fide Southern Ebonic accent that you could ever possibly imagine when I was much younger than I am now. And so long story short, I went out to L.A. with an agent, and I knew I was going to be moving out there. And the first thing he said to my mother was, you've got to get her in some speech classes ASAP. I mean, you have to. She has to lose that effing accent, like, now. You can't come to L.A. with that accent. And so, long story short, my mother enrolled me in with a great, great speech therapist, coach, whatever you call it now. And I started taking like all of these speech classes, trying to drop my Southern accent prior to moving to LA. So yeah. And the first time I went into a McDonald's out there, oh my God, Brett, it was awful because I still had some of the twang, and so I went up to the counter to order, and I think I ordered like a quarter pounder with cheese, and the little like Mexican guys at the cashier, they were laughing, and they go, "Oh my God, where are you from?" And they were just like, they were cackling, yeah, at my accent. So I didn't drop it completely, but I was still working on it really hard.
How long did you spend in L.A. during that time?
Oh, I was out there. I lived there full-time for 10 years.
Now, see, so now the accent is gone, and you've been back in Arkansas for a number of years.
You haven't
most of the time when somebody, you know, moves to another place and they pick up a dialect or an accent or a way of speaking in that new location, and then there for a period of time, usually when they go back to, you know, their hometown or where they grew up, where they developed the accent in the first place, it kind of slowly creeps back in to their vernacular. Well, I see that hasn't really happened with you.
Well, because I make a conscious effort daily. You know,
really?
Whenever I'm out and about, I'm going, I don't want to sound like you. I don't want to sound, when I hear other people, you know, talking, I'm like, I don't want to sound like that. I don't want to sound like that. Oh, damn it. I just got to make sure. I'm not paranoid about it, but I'm constantly making sure I don't start the y'alls and the ha's and, you know.
you're consciously, so this is like a daily effort. Like every time you open your mouth, you're like, your brain just kind of says,
Don't do Arkansas. I work damn hard.
Nice.
I've worked my butt off for this to get rid of it where I could, you know, I mean, and it's really funny because I've read for a few Southern roles over the years, and it was really hard for me to, like, get that back because subconsciously I'm hearing that agent back when I was a young kid saying, get rid of that Southern accent. So, you know. Yeah, let's just say that I'm constantly aware of it.
Okay, but it's not like a battle. It's actually just,
it's not a battle. Oh, Lord,
but it's just something
you
do think about, you know.
Yeah, I think
so
about
reading,
it.
So reading for a role that requires, you know, a Southern accent, you have a hard time bringing that back up. It kind of like goes against the grain for you personally.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, what a lot of people don't understand, too, is that the Southern accents in the South, I mean, all the dialects are different. You know, Texas is a little bit different than Arkansas. Arkansas is different than Georgia, than Louisiana. And it's
right.
Not just this one standard, you know, straight across the board Southern accent, because it's all a little different, and some's a little bit twangier than others. And, you know, so, yeah. It's not this battle that I'm going, oh, my God. It's nothing like that.
You know, it's funny, when we talk about different accents in America between South, the North, you know, you go up to Minnesota, you know, they have a very particular, if you go out to Maine or anywhere on the East Coast, they have a very particular way of speaking. I lived in New York for 3 years, and while I was out there, my coworkers and my bosses all called me Tex. That was like my nickname for the entire time I was out there, because I'm from Southern California, and I've lived in Nevada and Arizona. So I'm from the Southwest. So to me, the way I speak is just what I'm used to hearing. So I don't consider that I have an accent. But when I lived in New York, they all thought I was from the South. They don't really have an ear for different types of, like you said,
right,
you know,
right.
Different states in the South, they all have their own different kind of twang and their own different,
exactly.
You know, you could go to Louisiana or Texas, you know, or any of the Southern states, and if you grew up down there and you know, you can tell the difference. It's like in England,
sure.
You know, they
right.
have different dialects and different accents. You've got a Cockney accent, you've got a proper accent, you've got Essex and Birmingham and all, you know. It's such a small island, and it's such a concentration of different areas that each have their
exactly.
own deal. They all know where each other is from simply by the way they speak. But out here, we have so much more landmass that if you go out up to the Northeast, to them, all Southerners sound the same, including guys
right.
from Southern California. So evidently,
funny.
They thought I was from Texas. I don't know
well,
how that
and
works.
It's funny,
but,
too.
You know.
It's funny that my name is, because the Southern way of saying my name is Tamara, But on the West Coast, the majority of the people out there, they say tomorrow.
That's one of the things I was wondering about.
Yeah, the people on the East Coast, they say Tamara. So it's Tamara, 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 and I'm to the point, hey, you know, I'll answer to anything. Just be kind, you know.
I've had a lot of fun with it over the years.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I lived in Nevada for many of the years, and I also lived in Arizona. But on the East Coast, they don't say Nevada. They say Nevada. Like the A in Nevada is like an A. And it's like every time I heard that, they're like, oh, you lived in Nevada? And I was like, well, yeah, sure. Yeah, I lived there.
Let's talk about your career. All right.
I'm sorry. Let's talk about how it all got started. You know, you mentioned just a little earlier that when you were a teenager, you moved to California, to L.A. What prompted you to do so? What was your motivation, and what was it that, you know, like, I want to go there and do this? Is it a dream that you always had, or is it something that just kind of came along?
No, it was never really my life ambition. Number one was to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. It was not to be an actress. And then I found out at the time how much the Cowboys cheerleaders were making a game, and I said, okay, no, thank you.
I'll keep the acting, not worth it.
I think it was like $14 or $21 a game at the time or something, just this really low, ridiculous amount of money. And I'm like, eh, scratch that. But anyways, I started out doing pageants and modeling conventions and competitions, and I was also a singer. And so long story short, I was down in Miami, and there was a talent agent from L.A. down there. And so long story short, he approached my mom and said, she has a great look, you know, have you thought about acting? And he just, you know, really filled her in on L.A. and stuff. And the next thing you know, I ended up in L.A., like I said, with an agent already signed. And that's how it started. And as soon as I got there, I was blessed in the fact that I started working. I started working pretty fast.
That's not something that happens very often. I mean, a lot of people will go to Hollywood specifically to, you know, to be a star, and they have to work for many, many years before they even see any kind of return on you know, their personal investment, not just financial, but the work and learning.
Right.
But for you, it was a little bit expedient.
Yeah, it was, Brett, the way it all worked out. And then after we moved to L.A., my mom was in need of a job, of course. And so we knew the man who was head of human resources at Universal Studios. And so my mom went to work for Universal in the HR department. And then she went around the lot, floated around with some different producers. And then she finally landed as the executive assistant to Michael Mann, which, of course, was the executive producer of Miami Vice and so on and so forth.
Of which you were in one episode.
Right. I was in Freefall, the final episode of, it was a 2-hour show finale.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to have a piece of, a small role in that, because it was such an incredible show.
It sounds like your mom was all in with you're wanting to get into that. I mean, obviously that's pretty cool.
She was, and moving to LA was just, I hate to sound cliche or whatever, but it was magical, Brett. I mean, it was. Especially to be this little girl from Arkansas and moving out there. And you've already got your agent and you're meeting friends right off the bat. And, I mean, it was just like, you know, it was awesome. It was absolutely one of the best times of my life.
Nice. So let's talk about those early days. You started in a lot of TV stuff. I mean, you know, you had spots in Knots Landing, which I remember from a little kid, my mom watching that show. And then Growing Pains was a show I watched in the 80s growing up, you know. And also Nightmare on Elm Street, the series, which, you know, I thought that series was awesome because I was a big fan of the movies. And actually, I just got done watching a documentary on Netflix. It was like a 3-hour or 4-hour documentary on the entire Nightmare on Elm Street deal and every movie and all the actors, and it included the series as well. For some reason, that series didn't do too well. It was a little bit kind of campy. But I mean, if we look at it, it did get kind of campy. But I liked it. I loved it. It was great. I wish I could find it now, but it's just not available. You can't even find it on DVD, I don't think. Maybe that'll change soon. I don't know. But what
I think it's out there somewhere. It's out there somewhere. I don't know where, because I've got fans that remind me quite often that it's still out there available, and I will find out on I'll find out the format where they're seeing it or whatever. Yeah, and I'll let you know. It was really cool being on that show. The director, John Lafia, he was great. And the guy that played my boyfriend in that episode, this is really cool. He was George Washington's great, 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 great grandson. And his name was like John Washington, but he was a descendant of the George Washington. So that was just really cool. It was great being on the show. It was. And I've been a huge fan of horror, you know, all my life.
Yeah.
So I was into the nightmares and the Halloweens and, you know, all of that kind of stuff already.
Of course, we've got to bring in Halloween. Halloween 5. And that was, like, you got a lot of recognition for the role you played there. What was that like? I mean, was that your first motion picture after doing television for a while?
Yeah.
That was your first appearance in a motion picture. So there was a big difference between doing TV spots and things and then moving into film and cinema. What was that like?
Well, again, it was... then again, let's go back to the premise of small town girl from Arkansas moves to California and she's doing TV, and then all of a sudden she gets a phone call and here she is. Her agent or my manager at the time, whichever, they were telling me, hey, you're going to go in and audition for Halloween 5. And I'm like, being Halloween? Is it like Michael Myers? And they're like, yeah. Do you have a problem with that? I'm like, oh, no. Because, I mean, I had seen the original in theaters back in the day with my mom. And so what was awesome about that whole thing is that I go in to read for the role. They put me on tape. They were overnighting the tape to Dominique. All those guys were already in Utah. The next day I fly out to Miami. I do the last 2-hour finale episode, you know, of Vice. And I get the call while I'm in Miami that I booked H5. So basically I went from Miami straight to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah, it was
kind of crazy.
When we talk about the Halloween series, I didn't see the original one when I was a kid because, you know, I was kind of shielded by my mother. But then when I was 12, I moved over to my father's place, and he took me to see Halloween 2. And I think it was, 1981 or something like that. So I'm just a little twerky 12-year-old kid, just a weird dude. And my dad takes me to go see this horror movie. And that movie freaked me the fuck out. It's like I never wanted to go to a hospital ever again after that. But the one scene that had the biggest impression on me was the jacuzzi scene. And it's number one, it's freaky to see this chick get boiled alive. And the second thing was, it was the first time I saw boobs on the big screen. And I was 12, and I was like, well, that made a huge impression on me. You know? That was great. I was like, hey, Dad, can we go see this movie again? But I'll keep my eyes closed until the jacuzzi scene, because my dad used to give me a hard time about that. Hey, you just saw those boobs. Anyway.
Brett, I have, well, still to this day, though, what's funny, and it's cracking me up that you said that, because I hear from a lot of fans, whether, you know, via Facebook or in person at a convention or whatever, I hear them say, yeah, you were my first crush. I was 10, or I was 11, or I was 12, and you were the first sex scene I ever saw in a movie. And I just gasp, and I go, if I see them in person. Yeah, if I see them in person.
Just kind of hoping you didn't damage that kid.
Well, right, because then I've also heard all these stories about, well, my parents said that I couldn't see it, but me and Johnny and Bobby, we all snuck out over to Sam's house and we watched it, and I'm just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And then they tell me, oh, and we didn't watch it just one time, we watched it like five, and I'm like, oh, great, you know. Gotta love Samantha.
You know, it's funny when we talk about horror movies from the 70s and the 80s, you know, which I grew up with. One of the movies that freaked me out the most, I think I saw it when I was maybe about 8 years old, was The Exorcist, right? Freaky
right,
movie,
right.
Just scared the crap out of me. I had nightmares for months and years. But as I grew older, as a teenager, you know, friends and I used to watch it, and it ended up being kind of like a comedy to us. You know, I mean, I got a really weird sense of humor. And so I have on Blu-ray the special edition that was released a couple years ago. And so I decided to show it to my nephew. At the time, he was 15. And he watched it. And he thought it was the goofiest thing he ever saw. It wasn't scary. It was just like, what? This is the goofiest thing. And I'm like, if you understood that when I was very young,
back
it would
scare
the crap out of me. But for you, so, I mean, kids these days are growing up with a totally different mindset. Probably because they have the internet.
Oh, yeah, like, well,
they're
totally, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anything shocks them. I really think they're so jaded. How can you be jaded at 15 years old? For me, that's, like, scary, because for me, being 15 was, like, the world is just this awesome place and all kinds of new things to discover. But I think that, like, kids my nephew's age are growing up in a world where you see everything on the internet. It's all there.
Yeah.
There's no filter.
And it's unfortunate.
So,
I mean, that is what happens.
I think
that
so.
That is what has happened. But it's very unfortunate because, oh, my God, going back to the 80s and just it was if I could go back in my little time capsule, I would go back and I would stay there because it was what a grand time. And, you know, the world as a whole, it was just so much different. And you know, I have a son, Brett. I have a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I do. He is in his junior year at college, away at college, and he is on the dean's list, and his major is broadcast journalism. So I'm a proud mom.
Oh, nice. Broadcasting journalism, it's become a very rough field, because when we look at journalism and we look at the media in general, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of disgusted. I was a big fan of Walter Cronkite. I'm still a big fan of Walter Cronkite, just the way that he did things. And his major thing, and he was quoted as saying, get it first, but get it right. And
if we
look at the way the media works these days, it's get it first. Who cares if it's right or wrong?
Well, my son is, I mean, his deal is, because he is a walking encyclopedia when it comes to sports. So, you know, fingers crossed, one of these days he'll end up at a desk on ESPN or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little sideways here. I mean, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, and I would like to be able to hit on these things. But in the meantime, we do have a couple of callers. I'm going to take one of them right now.
Great.
Area code 408, you're on the air. You're live on Baldhead Radio. Who is this?
This would be Joe Flynn, your pal, your buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Flynn.
Yes, I live, I breathe, and I'm just listening in. And you're doing an excellent job, Mr. Brett. And Miss Tamara, well, you're doing wonderful as well.
Thank you.
I was going to ask, how is your son doing? Since I know you're his biggest fan and stuff like that and all that wonderful thing. And that's very cool that he's into the broadcast journalism.
Yeah, he's great, Joe. He is, and I appreciate you calling in so much.
You're welcome. I just wanted to catch up and see how the Hot Spring Film Fest went last year.
It was great. It was great, and we're gonna do it again this year. This will be our fourth annual, and this year is September the 22nd through September the 25th, and we're getting excited and ready to start making some pretty good big announcements. So yeah, so we're happy. We are so we're so lucky to receive wonderful films from submissions from all over the world, and it's incredible, Joe. I mean, all the indie talent out there it's off the charts. I mean, it's crazy, and I'm very, very lucky and super blessed to have a part in these, you know, filmmakers' lives. I am.
You know what? Before we get further with that, because that was a big thing I really want to talk to you about, and I want to do a certain setup, no problem there, because I really want to get into the Hot Springs Horror Film Festival. I've heard so much about it over the years, but before we go in that direction, I'm going to take another caller as well. Joe, you're going to stay on the line, right?
Yep.
And by the way, I didn't know Joe and camera that you guys knew each other. I mean, I guess we all run in the same circles. It's inevitable, but I had no idea. But thanks for calling in, and stay on the line.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, I'm going to take one more call. I got another guy on the line here. 718, you're live on the air on Baldhead Radio. Who do we got?
This is Johnny Collins.
Johnny Collins!
What's up, my brother?
What's up, my brother?
No, man. What is going on? Do you realize, Brett, you have, like, one of the most awesome actresses I've ever worked with?
I got that idea, dude. I got that
idea. Hey, Johnny, I'll send you your PayPal tomorrow. How much is it costing?
How much is that?
Let me tell you something. When we were working on Howl of a Good Time, she would rehearse her lines, and it sounded like she was saying it backwards, and she was messing them up. And then when the director, Patrick Ray, would say action, she nailed it every time. I don't understand. How does that happen?
Crazy, isn't it?
How do you do that?
But imagine, Johnny, imagine you're running a film festival, and then you're shooting a damn short film. You know, I mean, that's a lot. And by the grace of God, and because we all had the great, wonderful chemistry, and the fact that we all love each other and we're like family, that's the only way that we were
it
able
was
to
great.
Pull that off. I mean, that was crazy,
yeah.
But we did it. And
it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, me running on like 80 hours of no sleep, and here I am, I have lines, and I'm like, where are we? What are we doing, huh? And
yeah, she's running the film festival. She's trying to remember her lines, and she's setting up the next scene. And me and my buddy Sean are running around like with chickens with no heads. And I gotta tell you, the director and the cameraman,
Patrick and Hahnemann, yeah.
Awesome, great guys, and I loved his storyboard, fantastic. And you know what? Like I told Patrick, I know you don't know me, but just worry about your storyboard and worry about the shot. I mean, we're gonna make sure all the electric works. And me and Sean are up in the rafters with electric and doing toilet paper on a string. And next thing you know, I see like the special effects guys, putting the makeup on everybody. And Tamara's like, Johnny, you do makeup? Go do Leslie. And I'm like, okay. It was great. It was a great time. That was a great weekend.
Yeah, and then the last day or the next to the last day, Johnny, when I think it was you, when you went to plug into the electrical and it caught fire.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That
was crazy. That place was That was pretty, it was pretty scary. You know what? Filming and a festival at the same time was impressive. I can tell you, even the people in sitting in the seats were very patient and they were great.
Well, you know, like I said, Johnny, let me tell you something. I mean, honestly, without you, Johnny Collins, Michael Levy, Jason Levy, Steve Delisle, I mean, without all, I mean, Sean, all of you guys, I mean, my God, you guys are like, you are seriously my brothers, my family, and I will forever, ever, ever love you to pieces.
Oh, we love
it's
you. I tell
you,
we always talk about
it.
Like, if you listen, your energy is awesome. It is absolutely awesome. And we wish, like, you were closer. I wish we were all closer, you know. Maybe
I
soon,
know,
you
know,
it'll happen. Because we would make
this
more
year.
Things happen. There would be so,
yes.
many, so much more would happen. You know?
Yes, we make shit happen. We can do stuff.
Yeah, we can. We
hey,
certainly
Johnny.
Can.
Johnny,
yeah,
I want to ask you something here. Tamara asks how you and I know each other. And you want to field that question?
Brett was my roommate.
That's awesome.
But
that
Brett,
is awesome.
Brett has a better story, probably.
Oh,
Brett, you have a better story? Come on. What do you got?
I don't know. I mean, dude, listen, we got all kinds of stories. We could go back. We could go way back.
Yeah, I know. But this, it's not about us. It's about the star that's on the line. So don't even talk about us.
No, because what I'm saying is, Johnny, no. And you know that. No, it's about us as a team. And like
awesome.
I said, I love you. I love Fuzz on the Lens. I love the Levy Brothers. I mean, you know that you guys mean all to me.
Tamara, let me tell you a story. I met Brett in this called like the it's called the Funky Elephant Bar, right? And I was in this band called it was a the band was really weird. You know, it was pretty cool. And what happened was we played like African jungle funk music, and like I really wasn't in the band, but I was like they called me a weird musician. I used to make my belly button hum and my nose whistle, and Brett thought it was interesting. So he came over and started talking to me. He said he's new in town. He's from out west. And next thing you know, he's hanging out with me and my older brother, and he's my roommate. And we're driving around, and, we're bar hopping, and we had some good times, especially the Crawfish Festival. Forget about it. One time,
aww.
Check this out.
Yeah.
I was at the Crawfish Festival, and I found a whole bunch of dead crawfish, and I put them in my shorts, you know, the clothes hang out. And I was walking over to Brett and everybody else. I went, yo, this place is bad. I got a bad case of crabs. And then I just kept hooking crawfish out. It was pretty cool.
You
I ended up hooking up with some chick that thought it was funny. So it was good.
You know what the worst thing about that crawfish gag that you pulled, Johnny? The worst thing was that the fucking crawfish grabbed my nose and wouldn't let go, dude.
Yo.
He wouldn't let go. I was like, dude, what am I going to do with this? I can't handle... If I was going to take care of some business, and then this crawfish is like got his claw clamped down on my nose, and you were laughing, we were laughing, everybody was laughing.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Poor guy's nose hurt for a long
time.
Oh, man,
that's awesome. Brett, you need to come to Arkansas.
For like 3 months.
Brett, you need to come to
Arkansas. Arkansas is great. Hot Springs is a great place. You got to go.
Yeah, make it
we're
Jedi.
We're
going to
talk about this now.
There were a couple months of blazing. Yeah.
Oh,
we're going to talk about this
dude,
right
that
now.
Do that crab joke. The gag is
listen,
on.
Guys, I got to go. I'm actually at the studio, and I got like another half hour worth of rehearsal, and the guys are like poking out the door at me.
Uh-oh.
Listen, I love you both, man. You keep rocking a great show, and tomorrow you have my number now. You call me whenever,
yes, I love you, baby.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Great time.
Tell the boyfriend
hi. All
right, love you.
You got it. Certainly will.
Thanks for calling in, Johnny. Love you,
all right.
Man.
Bye.
Thanks, Brett. Talk to you tomorrow, man.
Later.
I feel the love all over the place. Now, where's the Lion King when I need it? So, please.
It's crazy.
This is the part of the show where we're going to talk about the Hot Springs Horror Film Festival, and I'm going to start off this discussion asking Tamara how you came up with this idea and what was the driving force behind it. What made you want to start I mean, it's become, it's 4 years in now, and it's become this big, major thing down there. I mean, I hear about this from a lot of people. Listen, I hear about it all over the place, and every year that it comes around, like, I had Johnny ask me the last couple of years, hey, you going to make it out and stuff, and I haven't been able to do so yet. But what was the initial idea in your head, and how did you get this thing done?
Well, the timeline of events, that would be probably the quickest way for me to run this down with you, Brett.
Sure.
I've been back in Arkansas. I've been behind camera for umpteen million years. I was not on social media carrying the Halloween fans. One day, long story short, I bumped into Justin Beam, who was our voice of the Halloween franchise at the time, and Justin was running the big Halloween movies fan page on Facebook. And I bump into him on Facebook, and I say, hey, Justin, it's Tamara Glenn, Samantha from Halloween 5. And he's like, he writes me back, oh, my God, where have you been? And I'm like, I'm in Arkansas. And he goes, everybody wants to know where you are. What happened to you? I said, I'm here. that day, Justin said, well, he said, do you mind if I post your page on the link to your page on the big Halloween movies page? And I thought, yeah, you can post it. You know, nobody remembers who I am, and not a big deal. I maybe have like two friend requests. Well, Brett, in no time, I was maxed out at 5,000 within like a couple of hours. I mean, it happened really fast. And then, so I had to turn that page into like a fan page and then start another one. And the love from the Halloween franchise fans, it's been absolutely, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. But that happened August 27th, 2012. My business partner, we have a theater here in Hot Springs. It's the Historic Central Theater. And so right after that happened, we were wanting to have a festival to begin with. And so we're like, duh, Halloween Horror, the theater, let's have the Hot Springs International Horror Film Festival. And then 2013 rolled around, and Justin Beam came in, Tyler Main, Jeff Burr, David Schmoller. Tyler was here with his beautiful, talented wife, Renee. And it was just amazing. Patrick Ray was at the first one, and it just all happened, and it was magical, and it was just meant to be at the end of the day. That's all I can say. I mean, all of this has just been it's been so much work, don't get me wrong, but it's been so much fun where it feels like it's effortless. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to say that one thing from talking with you tonight on the show that I've noticed is that you've had a lot of, you know, fortuitous events that have gotten you up to where you're at. I mean, there's working hard,
right.
there's being very dedicated to your craft, but then
right.
Everybody also needs some help and a break, and it sounds like you, like you said, it was like it's been like a dream. It's things happen, but when you put, you know, I noticed that when I put myself out there, I never know what's going to happen, and the
exactly.
things that I didn't think would happen end up happening. I mean, just the fact
right.
that I'm doing a show with you tonight right now is, to me, like, wow. You know, I've been doing this show for, you know, almost a year, and I didn't think that it was even going to last this long or go as far as it has, and it keeps growing and getting bigger, and
right.
more people are listening. If you put yourself out there, and listen, this is what I learned from the Levy brothers. Just do what you want to do. Put it out there.
Exactly.
What's the worst that could happen? And then you find that it just keeps going and rolling and getting bigger. And
well,
now
go ahead.
You're working on 4 years with the Hot Springs
right.
Horror Film Festival, and you're doing something. You're running a venue where other independent filmmakers can get exposure for the work they do, and it encourages. We all try to encourage each other.
Right.
That's the most important thing, because we're all
that's
in this,
what it's
this
about.
Place.
That, well, Brett, but you've got to have the mindset, and genuinely, you can't bullshit. You have to be the kind of person that you want others, you want your friends to succeed.
Yeah,
it's either
exactly.
You're born with it, it's in your heart, it's, you're in the right place, the right mind frame, or because you can't bullshit forever, you know?
True.
And I think that's one reason why this has worked is that, you know, whether it's Bill Volland or I with the festival, our hearts are in the right place, and we know that when we bring our guests to town, the networking that is involved, the relationship. I mean, when people come to our festival, especially years 1 and 2, I mean, you have these lifelong friendships that are made.
Yes, definitely.
It's incredible. It is incredible. I cannot tell you. And I mean, my God, the Levy brothers, Mike Levy was on my Facebook page in 2013. He was like a Halloween fan. One day, I knew he had a production company, and one day I reached out to him, and I said, hey, dude, what's up? And he's like, hi. And I'm like, hey, you want to come to Arkansas and shoot some B-roll for my festival? And before you know it, September, whatever date in 2013 rolls around, I've got Mike Levy and 10 members of Fuzz on the Lens that they had driven like 26 hours straight from Staten Island to Hot Springs, Arkansas, just to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I got to tell you, it's funny the connections that we make with each other when we're doing our individual things.
Right.
You know, I've been a friend of Johnny's for a long time, you know, and it was through him that I met the Levy brothers and Fuzz on the Lens guys. And so, I started reaching out to them, and they were a major catalyst for me starting my own show. And before I did this, I was a co-host with Mr. Joe Flynn. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, Brett, to get back to your question about how I know Miss Tamara Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
It was basically, once I saw her Facebook page come up, I decided to say, okay, I remember her from Halloween 5. I'm going to go like and, you know, contact her just to say hello. You know, I really enjoyed your performance in Halloween 5, you know. And she accepted my friend's request. And then, of course, she eventually came on to the show that you used to co-host with me. And Francie and stuff like that. So that's how I basically know Tamara.
Joe, in fact, I was on your show like the day or 2 days before the 2013 film festival started.
That's right. You're like,
I was on right there. Yeah, we were about to. It was
like,
about to start up. Yep.
Yep, and so. Yeah, that's how, you know, as I agree with everything you're saying, both of you, because what I do, you know, with my little small TV show is, hey, I talk about upcoming horror movies, conventions, whatever, you know, film fests, like cameras, once, you know, I see the info flow and I tell people, hey, if you're out in the Arkansas area or New York, Florida, wherever the convention might be at, I tell people, hey, this is what's going on in that neck of the woods. Go check it out, you know, stuff like that. I promote almost everybody, you know, within reason.
And we appreciate it, Joe. We appreciate it so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's, you know, and it's like, as you would say, it's by chance if you happen to be at a convention, if you're a fan of whatever the, you know, the horror genre, because we've had this question, I think, Brett, like about how, why aren't there any, you know, like conventions for comedy movies or romance movies? But it's sort of like, but the horror genre, their fans are the most loyal. They'll follow, you know, if something happens,
absolutely,
they will be
yep.
there
yeah.
for you and say, hey, you know, I had a tragic accident. Can you please, you know, pass this along? And people will do their best to, you know, get the word out, whatever it might be. If it might be like, hey, help me make a short film or help me do something. You know, stuff like that.
It's awesome. It's, well, I mean, it's really cool because there is such a oneness, just a special bond that all of us have in the genre. I mean, it's just like the first convention I ever attended was Horror Hound Cincinnati. It was in March 2013, and my God, I mean, I cried. I mean, there were like all these fans there, like lined up at my table, and I'm like, oh my God, I've never in my life felt so much love, felt so much. I mean, it was just, it was like an out of body experience. It was crazy.
I gotta
say, you can't describe it.
Yeah, what Joe was saying, it, you know, with the different genres of movies. First of all, I've always been a, well, not always, but for the last 10 years, a big fan of independent filmmaking. And the plethora is in the horror genre. And I noticed that since I've started doing what I do, is the support that I get from that community. I mean, everybody that I've reached out to be on my show and everybody that has spread the word, they've all been just awesome, just so supportive, so wonderful.
It's
crazy, and it's just like this warm, fuzzy feeling, you know, that you get from working with other people that are involved with this. It's specifically the horror genre and independent film. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but people love this genre. Like Joe said, you know, you got rom-coms and all these big Hollywood blockbusters, but when it comes to independent film, it's just a great place to be, and it's a great thing to be a part of. And I'm so blessed and thankful to know the people that I know that have supported me in my endeavor of doing this radio show, that have been just like, hey, dude, we love what you do. We want to be a part of it. And that gets me to be a part of what you guys do. We all have our parts to play, you know?
Right. And let me tell you this little story real fast. My mom, I was her caregiver for a few years. She was terminally ill. And when I bumped into Justin Beam, August 2012, my mom was in a nursing facility, and she was going down pretty fast. And I was so thankful that, I mean, it's amazing the way the universe just, and everything lines up, and the planets and all of our gods and whatever you choose to believe in. But it was really special to me because, like I said, I bumped into Justin August 2012, and my mom passed away February 4th, 2013. And I'm an only child, and Alex is my only child. And so, and the majority of my family, they've all passed away. So I cannot tell you what the Halloween fans and the friendships that I have made just over social media alone, they have helped me get through some of the darkest, most saddest times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these, I cannot tell you the outpouring of just of love I got from, and they really helped me because, and they helped me because, I mean, I was going through losing my mom, and I'm an only child. My God. You know,
that's tough. You didn't have siblings to lean on. You know,
no, I didn't. So I had fans. And
yeah,
I'm forever
right.
grateful for that.
I remember
awesome.
That, too. I remember.
Yeah, I mean,
it was there, and I was, like, there, like, trying to, you know, to reach out like all the other fans were, you know, to check in and say, hey, you know, I hope you're, you know, I know it's up, and, you know, we're there for you, you know. And that's the whole good thing about, you know, about the whole social network. Some of it's really great. Some of it, you know, you just go like, please go away. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but
sure.
But, you know, I would never, ever, you know, and this is the thing for me, when someone is down and hurting, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or not, I try to reach out and say, hey, you know, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. You know, stuff like that. And that's how I was brought up with, you know.
Right, right. But it just, it really means, and especially with all of this going on, you know, with the Halloween fans coming on board and, you know, right before, I mean, she passed away in February and then my first con appearance was in March. And it just really, really, I mean, they really helped me keep it together and put a smile on my face, you know, during some really sad times. And I'm just, I'm so forever grateful. You have no idea.
It's special. This is an amazing thing that... This is the greatest thing. I mean, like Joe was saying, the social media on the internet, it always seems like there's way more assholes and trolls out there than there are, you know, just decent people. That there's an anonymity that people feel to where they can just do stupid shit and not have to suffer any consequences. But there are those of us that understand that our social lives, our social media lives online, are just as important and should be just as honest as the lives that we live on the ground that we walk on. And that, it does make up a huge difference. It's not just the friends that I've made over the last, you know, 15 years or whatever that I've had an internet connection since the mid-90s. I've met a lot of people from way back in like 95, 97, these are people that I still associate with now online. And
right,
we've been
right
through a lot. We've shared a lot together. We've been there for each other. It's a great thing. And that
and
should
Brett,
not be
well,
discounted.
Yeah. And Brett, too, let me tell you something. Social media, yes, of course, it has. It's good and it's bad. But to me, social media, the way I feel about it, it's like life. What you put out there is what you get in return. And social
yeah
media, I've been so lucky. what I put out there is positive because that's me. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And what I receive is positive. And I think that's where some people kind of get a little thrown off about, because when you project bad, guess what? You're going to get back bad.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think that the computer age, it has changed the social network and the social fabric of the entire world in so many ways that could have never been fathomed before the thing started. But in the end, we're still people. We're still real. There are those of us that want to remain as real as we are, but there are just some people that look at it as a license to just do bad things, you know, and that's just the way it is. We got to deal with that. But it hasn't changed people. It's just changed the way people behave in certain ways. That's
right, right. Well, and two, you've got to be strong enough to go, see ya, hater. Next.
Yeah. People going to hate, baby. People going to hate.
Well, and if they don't hate, then you're not doing something right, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, there is some truth to that saying. You're doing something right, that's why they hate you, if you were, you know, whatever. But I'm lucky in the fact that I get to share, because I am so proud of my son, and I get to share, you know, some things about my son on there occasionally, and my life is very full, and I am very grateful, and you know, they also inspire me to be the best I can be. The fans do. And they keep me
absolutely
accountable. And, yeah. And I mentor quite a few of them. And it keeps me in check with reality. And it's very healthy. And like I said, knock on wood, to date, I've been lucky in this whole social media thing. I hope that doesn't change. But if it does, we'll deal with it. That, you know, it's awesome. It is.
I think also your attitude is so positive and realistic, and you have a very good grasp of who you are and what you do, and it's just it's you, you do you've done great things and you'll continue to do great things because that's what you enjoy doing. That's what's going to and like you said, there is an accountability when you know we put ourselves out there on the internet.
Yep.
We realize that we do what we say. We are who we say because it keeps us
right.
in that place. You know, I mean, you can't just go out there and say, well, this and that, I'm going to do this and that's going to happen. And then when that doesn't happen or that isn't done, then you kind of look like an asshole. So, yeah, there is a checks and measures kind of balance there. And it just keeps us honest, you know. And when we deal with each other, there's always drama. Listen, in the world that you live in, there's constant drama and all kinds of things going on, and you got to deal with that. But if you're dealing with yourself in an honest way, then you deal with others in an honest way, and that's what helps you get things done that you envision.
Well, exactly. And I tell you what, right, and I totally concur with you, and I tell you what so much of life is, especially this day and age, everything is about the reactionary system. You know, it's how people react. The reactionary. And in life, you know, it's not what happens to us that's so bad. It's how we choose as individuals to react. And some just know better. You know, some are just more mature than others. And it's just, you know, I'll have to come back on the show and we'll do like this life coach like thing. Cause,
you know what? I would love Glenn, to have you back again. Absolutely. The thing is, I'll be honest, is Johnny Collins is the one who recommended you to me way last year, and I put in a referral request to you, and you accepted it, but you didn't even know who the hell I was, and then I approached you last week about doing the show, and you were all for it, and you didn't even know who the hell I was, but you were like, yeah, I'd love to do this. So my question for you right now, in light of that, is did you have a good time on the show?
I have had so much fun. I'm sitting here with a huge smile on my face, and I feel like I have. I feel like I've met a new friend tonight. So thank you.
That was my next question: are we more than Facebook friends now?
You've got to come to the festival sometime.
I would love to. I just got to get my ass in gear to figure out how to get something like that. What are you talking about? September this year? Get some floods. Yeah, get some floods.
You'll have a blast. Joe, you've got to come too. You guys would have a blast. And like I said again, it's the September 22nd through the 25th, and the website is hotspringshorrorfilmfestival.com. So, if you're a filmmaker and you're listening and you have any questions, feel free to contact Bill Volland or the festival Facebook page, or hit me up on my personal Facebook page. And submissions are open. It's Film Freeway and Without a Box. So submit. The submissions are fantastic. Come on. And I hope to see everyone in Arkansas this September. I do. It's fun.
Yay.
It's like a huge love fest. I'm telling you, it is like, it's not like Woodstock, but it's like this huge, like, love horror fest. I mean, especially the first 2 years, it was just, and this year, last year was a little bit low key, but this year it's going to be ramped up again. So we are just hugely excited.
Listen, man, I hear all over the place from people I know, which ends up, you know, we all run in the same circles. It's fucking crazy. This film festival is blown up. Fourth year now, right? Getting crazy.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I've heard about this thing all over the place over the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, what is this thing? You know, somewhere down in Arkansas, you know, in the armpit of the world. But no, this thing attracts major people, major players, people that are passionate about what they do. And that's the whole thing. Are we passionate about what we do? Yes, we are. That's why we do it. There it is.
Yep.
Exactly.
I mean, that just describes the whole thing right there, is passion. And I tell all the guests that I've had on is everybody's so passionate about what they do, and that's why they do it.
Right.
And then not Tokyo. Sorry.
Well, and
I was
too,
doing Rod
Brett,
Stewart.
Oh,
go
Brett,
ahead.
I tell you what, it's an honor, like this past festival. It was an honor, I mean, for me to be here in Arkansas, and you know the backstory now, and I mean, I'm here in Arkansas just doing my thing, living my life. And at last year's festival, I look up because I'm standing in the lobby, and there's like 8 people that walk through the door at the same time. And I automatically assumed that they were a group and they were together and all this stuff. And they were all together, and they were from the UK. And
nice.
Yeah, and I'm like, you're here from the UK, and I'm like, why in the hell did you pick this festival? You're kidding me, because I look at them and I'm thinking, I just see dollar signs, like, okay, so one, you know, 2,000-3,000 times eight, you know, and I'm just doing this math in my head. And they said that they were so excited to come to Arkansas. They said there's only so many times you can go to New York. There's only so many times you can go to LA. They had never been to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And they had,
you know what,
a blast.
I think that your festival probably it's bigger than Branson, Missouri. That's a spicy
there you go.
I don't know about that, but maybe someday.
No, you know what? Fuck Branson, Missouri, all right? It's all about Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's all about the Hot Springs Festival in Arkansas, because Branson ain't got nothing on Tamar Glen and the Hot Springs Horror Film Festival. It's held every year. Fourth year this year in September. It's going to be awesome.
Go.
It is going to be awesome. And
who
also, we make short films during the festival, too, sometimes. So,
oh,
I mean,
really?
That's right.
God only
you
knows.
Never know.
Oh, and we also have, Brett, we also have equipment. Johnny and those guys can tell you about our 32-foot Alfred Hitchcock Leviathan crane that Universal built for Hitchcock back in the day. So we also own that, and it's here in Arkansas. And, yeah, I mean, we have fun, let me tell you.
It sounds awesome. You know what? It's things like that I see going on that make me so privileged and proud and blessed to do my little radio show and in a way be a part of all the things that you guys are all doing. You know, I mean, every time I do this show, I just feel like, wow, I can't believe that I'm able to talk to these people. This is awesome. Like, I'm just a normal Joe. I got a 9-to-5, you know, and I got a real happy life and full life, and I do this as a hobby, and I got to tell you, I love doing it. I love doing it. And again, we talk about passion, you know. And I think that's what.
Well,
I think it's what
I do have this,
drives people to my show, you know.
I do have this to share with you, and you're the first person that I've shared it with. But we are also gearing up to have our first annual Women in Film Festival, because I think it's so important to celebrate women in this industry as a whole. So right now it's in the very early stages, but it will be up and forthcoming here before too long. So I'm super excited about that, because there's so many women filmmakers. I mean, look at Danielle Harris. I mean, she's done an amazing job. And right. And it's just, you know, the Soska sisters and Devaney Penn. And there's just so many great filmmakers out there that are women. And it's really important
very
to me
true.
To honor them.
Wow.
Very
would, you
true,
say a, would you say that's a Bald Head Radio exclusive?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. Nice. I love getting this stuff. And it's happened before.
There
it's
you
like,
go,
wow,
Brett.
I can't believe
you
that.
Beat
I get
me.
Some early information. Nice.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you beat
so.
Me.
Well, you're the first one. So I did want to do a little mention of it tonight, but I just, it's, you know, women in film are, women are very, it's, I don't know, I'm very passionate about women in film. I am.
Basically, the women.
Great thing.
I admit, women in movies in any genre are very talented, wonderful people, if they be directors, writers,
actresses,
I support all the people, all the genres, and as I would always say, to me, I say, hey, if you make a movie, man, woman, child, if you make a movie for a buck or to whatever, you know, and if you want it, you know, to be mentioned or whatnot, let me know. I'll talk about it, and I'm all for the people.
Nice.
Well, there's, you know, there's just, I mean, also, you know, we have a nonprofit. It's called the Hot Springs Arts and Film Institute. And I'm also, I'm very big on education. And there's so much in the early phases right now that we're tossing around ideas and collaborating with some major powerful sources out there in the industry as a whole. And there's a lot going on right now. It's going to be a super busy year. And like I said, I'm blessed. I think we're all blessed. And I just think it's really important for everyone to be kind and loving and let's support each other and continue to do well. I think that's what it's about.
It's a great community that everybody's a part of, and the support that everybody gives to each other, because it is a community and everybody realizes, you know, how much value it has as far as people go and
right.
and passions. And it's, listen, man, I just feel so honored to be, you know, in my small way, a part of it. And Tamara, great having you on the show. I loved it, man. You did awesome. I hope you felt really comfortable, like I told you you would. Isn't it just like sitting on the couches bullshitting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the whole thing. And I don't want anybody that comes on my show to feel uncomfortable or, you know, it's just about hanging out, having a good time, relaxing, and, you know. Now, we're coming up on the end of our show here. And, Tamara, it's time for you to get out any kind of plugs that you would like to get out to the listeners.
Oh, God, I feel like I've talked so much.
Oh, now you're on the spot. No, you're
well,
not.
Well, I think we've plugged the festival a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that's a very important part of my life. Last year, I started a little company, and it's called CelebrateYou.life, and it's badass body butter. It's gel candles, steampunk jewelry, other costume, really cool, unique kind of jewelry. So I'm continuing to work very hard on Celebrate You. And like I said, that site again is CelebrateYou.life, because I'm all about celebrating everyone's life, and I think everyone should be made feel special and do something good for themselves. And I'm certainly a cheerleader for humanity, so I've got that. And what else? Okay, the Women's Festival thing, we're working on that. Yeah, this year's festival for the Hot Springs International Horror Film Festival is, again, September the 22nd through the 25th, 2016, right here in beautiful downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas. And again, that website is hotspringshorrorfilmfestivals.com. And it is up on Without a Box and Film Freeway.
Beautiful downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas. Like I
yes.
said,
yeah. Did I sound like a car sales in there? Yeah.
You just
threw Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
Got
right.
nothing
and
on
there's
you.
Other projects, and there's other projects in the making. Right now, I'm hugely, hugely excited and blessed. I just signed on with a personal manager out of L.A. His name is Matt Chasen, and I'm with him now. And
I know Matt.
Starting to come in, and it's everything is great. Matt
nice.
Is an excellent man. I love him.
Congratulations.
Everything is beautiful.
Beautiful.
It is.
In its own
is.
Way.
And Joe,
it is.
We're going to get to your plugs here, Joe. First of all, tonight at 8
yeah.
p.m. Pacific on Francie and Friends, we're going to be
yes.
talking about David Bowie, we're going to do kind of a memorial show. And I say weird because I plan on calling in, Joe, so let Francie know.
You should call in. You should.
Sure.
Because I'm lonely. No, I'm just joking.
I understand
no,
we're going to have quite a few people on. Are we going to have John Lane on?
I think so. I hope so. Mr. John Lane, if you're listening, please call in. We miss you. Yes. No. Yeah, that's tonight. Francie and friends over on the Blog Talk Radio in about 45 minutes or so. But, of course, you guys can catch my show every Friday night, 11:30 p.m. Pacific, 2:30 East Coast time, over off of Create TV, streaming Channel 15, or just come to my Facebook page, Joe Flynn. No, I'm not the dead actor from McHale's Navy, but I am not related to him in any way. But just find me. I'm the guy with the top hat and beard that looks like a wolf man, kind of. I don't
you
know.
You can't miss Joe Flynn. You cannot miss Joe
no.
Flynn. That's what it comes down to.
And here you go. And I'll even give you a nice little tease for not this Friday night show, but next Friday night show, we have a flashback show where you'll get to see me interviewing my good buddy, author, horror author, Fred Weehy of Strange Days and Fright House and Elric, and also Nicholas Grabowski, the writer of Halloween 4, not 5, but 4.
Mr. Nicholas Grabowski, a longtime friend of mine. We've known each other since the 80s. Boy, he's a good guy.
Oh, yes, and you'll love this because this is an interview by my former co-host, Priscilla, at one of the conventions out in California we were at, and also Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Massacre is
awesome.
On that episode. So that's in the 22nd of January. As we're getting closer to my I need a vacation. So I'm going to say
What you need is a whole new lease on life, because I understand now that you're turning 28.
That's right. I'm turning, you know, that wonderful age. Brett, hopefully you'll meet up with me in April.
I saw that post
the
that you
Monster
put on my page.
Monster Palooza, yes. That's the guest
list so far.
We've
talked about this
so
for the last couple years. Listen, Joe, we've talked about this for the last couple years. And the last two Monster Paloozas, you came down and didn't even let me know. And
I
was
apologize.
Hurt, man. So
I didn't
time,
have your number.
Guys, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful to Monster Palooza by all means or anything that's going on out there. But, you know, I just want to see you guys in Hot Springs. Okay? Can I just tell you? Get your ass to Hot Springs, Arkansas.
If my wife and I could find our way out that way, we'd love to do it. And you know, got a little bit of time to plan.
Brett, you need to talk to the Levies and Johnny, and I'm sure that, I mean,
they'll
like I said, if
you
make it happen, we can get you here. Yeah, we can get you here.
Johnny, I think the last two before that, Johnny was like, dude, are you coming out to Arkansas? And I'm like, the fuck's out there? He's like, dude, it's a hot spring. Come on, dude. And I'm like, that's when I started figuring out what this thing was.
Yeah.
Poor Brett. At least I know.
Hey, I'm a greenhorn over here. I'm new to this whole thing. So it's like, but just get invited to all these different things.
I forgive
I'm like, wow.
you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're blessed, my child. Now make sure the exorcist does not get you.
Oh, God. Okay, guys, I'll tell you what. My ear is... Hey, Brett, my ear is on fire right now.
No problem.
And I need to go get some iced tea, but because I'm really kind of thirsty. But I just want to say again, thank you. Wow, just thanks. This was incredible. And I do feel like I have a new friend after your show this evening. So thank you, and may you have a wonderful, wonderful brand new year ahead of you, and may everyone have just a really healthy, happy 2016. Joe, that includes you.
Thank you. And Happy New Year's to you, and may this year be spectacular for you.
And may someone out there in the genre win the damn Powerball.
Yeah.
Me,
oh,
myself,
I
did not buy
ticket.
A ticket, but may someone win the freaking
tonight.
Thing.
Listen, I bought a ticket on Sunday and paid $2 for it, and we won $5, so I got a good feeling about tonight. I got my ticket. My wife's out
well,
there
if you win, guess what? You're going to invest in my next independent film. How's that, Brett?
Hey, you know what?
There you go. We'll make a movie.
We'll
make a movie.
All right,
guys.
Cool,
hey,
camera.
Love
have
and hugs,
night,
and again, Happy New Year. Thank you, and thanks, and I will be in touch with you guys soon. Stay tuned for a great year.
It was awesome having you on the show, and I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself. And thank you for coming on. I look forward to having you on again. It's awesome.
Let's do it. Yes,
right,
the next time I'm on, we're going to talk. The next time I'm on, Brett, we're going to talk about all of my positiveness and my life coach stuff and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm here to change lives, you know. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
All right, sweetie. You guys take care. Love you, mean it,
you
and
too.
we will chat soon.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. You too. Bye-bye. Thanks, Brett.
Bye-bye. And I'll talk to you in a bit, Brett. Bye-bye.